Hi, everyone, and welcome to the State of State Schools podcast. I'm your host, John Stamper, Christian author, former homeschooler, and former public school teacher. Once a week, I'll give a quick recap of the most important headlines in education and pull back the curtain on what's really happening in our kids' schools. If you're a teacher, parent, or homeschool family, this podcast is for you. Thanks for listening, and let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 57. Everything in this episode comes from the week of March 25th, 2024. Here's what I'll be talking about. School-based health centers. Public schools fighting quote-unquote whiteness. A public school board in Virginia voted to celebrate transgenderism on Easter Sunday. And a resource that I'll share with you called Public School Exit. All right, here we go. Story number one. Have you ever heard of school-based health centers? I'm not talking about nurses' offices. I'm talking about school-based health centers. These things are different. So I taught for 13 years, and I never heard of school-based health centers until this week. So what are these things? School-based health centers are usually run by a local healthcare group, a hospital group, or even the school district itself. They're usually funded by nonprofit groups and or the government. I'm not sure which is worse. There are actually almost 4,000 school-based health centers in the U.S. right now, and they're widely endorsed by the CDC. So what exactly do these school-based health centers do? Well, they claim to make it easier for families and easier for students to receive health care during the school day. And they also claim to improve students' academic performance, improve their graduation rates, and improve discipline in school. The supposed benefit is that students don't have to miss a school day. They don't have to check out of school to go to the doctor. Parents don't have to take off work to come pick their kid up from school and take them to the doctor. Instead, students could just walk down the hall and receive medical treatment on their own. So here are some of the services offered through these school-based health centers. Flu shots, sports physicals, teaching students about healthy eating habits. Okay, nothing too crazy there, right? Well, they offer a bit more than your typical nurse's office at school. But are there any drawbacks to these school-based health centers? That's a big question. Are there any drawbacks to this? Well, Parents Defending Education reported on investigations that looked into these school-based health centers, and it turns out there are a few things to be concerned about. First of all, in addition to things like sports physicals, they offer children emergency contraception, reproductive health care, immunizations, psychiatry, and counseling for mental and emotional issues. This is where it gets wild. So the investigation found that school-based health centers have very little regulations, meaning they can, quote unquote, treat a child and easily keep information from parents under, you know, various privacy, confidentiality, or parent exclusion policies. Some states have a lower age of consent that would allow younger children access to abortion drugs like Plan B, as well as, quote unquote, gender affirming care such as chest binders, maybe even Packers. Again, all without parental consent. So we already know that government schools are indoctrinating children with Marxism, socialism, transgenderism. In fact, the system was designed to do just that. Just look into the work and accomplishments of Robert Owen, Horace Mann, John Dewey, the Marxist Frankfurt School that began training teachers, training America's teachers at Columbia University in the 1930s. So with all these current issues in government education, schools taking over the responsibility of a child's health care is a scary thought, let alone without parental control. But here's another interesting twist on these school-based health centers. Billionaires Melinda French Gates, that's Bill Gates' ex-wife, and Mackenzie Scott, Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, they've partnered to invest in these school-based health centers. Seems like an odd pair. Well, why would they partner to invest? Well, their goal is to, quote-unquote, advance equity. So here we go again, more equity in the public schools. This time it's in healthcare. So it turns out that promoting equity is one of the major functions of Melinda French Gates' foundation, which was created to, quote unquote, accelerate social progress. So the donations from these two billionaires come from a venture capital fund where the whole point of a venture capital fund is to invest and gain returns on your investments. So in short, these school-based health centers, at least in part, they seem to be all about equity and making money. So while these school-based health centers are new to me, I'm still learning about them, it's definitely something that you will want to know about, especially if you have kids in public or private schools. And like everything involved in the government schools, when you start to peel back the layers and learn about where this stuff is coming from, it's usually not a pretty picture. So you don't want to be left in the dark or intentionally lied to about anything in your child's life, especially when it concerns their physical, mental, or emotional well-being. And again, one major concern with these school-based health centers is that children can receive various quote-unquote treatments without parental consent, not to mention the probability that they're part of an ideological money-making scheme. So I'm not trying to lump everyone into the same group, but these health centers are worth looking into. Story number two. A public school district in Minnesota recently hired an assistant superintendent who will earn up to $200,000 a year. But the position's job description is what's raising eyebrows. The job description stated, quote, "The assistant superintendent proactively supports the superintendent to create and communicate anti-racist structures and systems." To create and communicate anti-racist structures and systems. They work to interrupt systems of oppression. They examine the presence and role of whiteness in systems and structures. And they're open to feedback regarding their own racial blind spots. End quote. That's the job description in this Minnesota public school. So the district claims to be role models, fighting racism, interrupting oppressive systems, and then in the same breath, they mention the problem of quote-unquote whiteness. So this makes all the white students, the white teachers, all the white people in the district, and implies that they are the oppressors. They're the bad guys. So it's interesting because if this new assistant superintendent's job is to get rid of the oppressive whiteness within the system, then the school system is labeling themselves as a system or a structure of oppression. And since that's the case, why would anyone trust them in the first place? So why is all this important? It's important because this is clear evidence of critical race theory in action inside an American public school district. Your tax dollars at work. It has all the elements of Marxism. First of all, it talks about oppressive systems and structures that must be interrupted. Those are all the right buzzwords. Second, it labels one group as the oppressor. You know, it effectively divides the community into two groups, propping up the perceived victims as the virtuous group, fighting racism, rooting out whiteness in the system. And then the perceived oppressors, the white people, they're seen as the bad guys. This is what Marxism looks like in practice. And remember, Marxism is an atheist ideology that seeks to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. That's a direct quote from Karl Marx himself. So it's important to recognize this stuff in school policies, in mission statements, and even job descriptions, so you can keep an eye out for it in your own school, whether it's public or private. Even quote-unquote Christian schools are not immune to adopting policies with similar language. You know, it's phrased to sound good, but if you're paying attention, it's actually very divisive. Now, I can say from personal experience, while I was a Christian, teaching in the public school system for over a decade, I never truly understood the public school system's communist and Marxist origins. I was unknowingly participating in a system that was intentionally anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christianity. Now, I believe there are a lot of other Christians out there, teachers, administrators, who are just like me. They were still teaching in the public schools, but they just don't know the history of the public school system. And that's why I'm trying to provide this type of information. Story number three, the Fairfax County School Board in Virginia is back in the news. This time it's because they added the Transgender Visibility Day to the school calendar, and it's to be celebrated on Easter Sunday of all days. The school district has already designated the entire months of June and October to celebrate homosexuality and transgenderism. That's 62 days of celebration, but now they want to take over Easter Sunday. So think about that. Two full months, June and October, that's two full months that K-12 students are celebrating sexual perversion. And I mean celebrating. When I was with Chicago Public Schools, elementary students were signing up to be LGBTQ allies in the hallway. They were getting bracelets, drawing pictures, having dress-up days. That's 20% of the school year. One-fifth, 20% of the school year that's intentionally carved out to force sexually perverted ideologies on children. This is not just happening in Fairfax County, Virginia, but in many public schools across the country. Of course, the 9 school board members who voted in favor of celebrating transgenderism on Easter were all Democrats, and they justified their decision by saying trans students were depressed and they need our support. Now, I believe there is a huge number of quote-unquote trans students who are depressed, and we should care about that. And we should start by being honest and truthful with them, you know, teaching them that there are only 2 genders, male and female. And it's that way because a mighty creator, God, created us that way. And you know what? He didn't just create you. He loves you very much. We can start there. But I also find it compelling that this younger generation has received more therapy in and out of school than any other generation in history. You know, this generation is the most anti-bullying, anti-racism, anti-harassment generation in history, but they're still the most depressed generation in history. In fact, Abigail Schreier has written a new book on this topic called Bad Therapy. I suggest you check it out. Now, I'm not saying there aren't good people in public schools, but I am saying that the public school system is designed to function just as it's functioning right now. Now, I recently heard Israel Wayne say how public schools are not failing, they're actually wildly successful because they're accomplishing exactly what they're designed to do. And that's a scary thought. You know, the American public school system began with communist origins, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-family philosophies. If you want to learn more about the history of public education, visit my website, johnstamper.org, and look through my resource page. On that resource page, you'll find Alex Newman's video on the history of public education. It's a 5-minute video. And you'll also see Israel Wayne's interview on the Refining Rhetoric podcast. Those are 2 great resources if you're wanting to learn more about the public schools or you're wanting to get out of the public schools. All right, I want to finish by sharing an amazing resource for parents, church leaders, and Christian school leaders. It's called Public School Exit. Public School Exit. You can learn about this organization or this movement for yourself at publicschoolexit.com. The chairman is E. Ray Moore, if you know E. Ray Moore. Alex Newman is the executive director. I've learned a ton from Alex Newman over the last year, and I know you'll benefit from him and the whole movement as well. So I'll just point out some of my favorite parts of the Public School Exit website, but you definitely will want to visit and check it out for yourself. First, the mission of Public School Exit is, quote, to facilitate an exodus of American children and families from government-controlled education by educating the public and helping families, end quote. So if you click on the how-to tab at the top of the page, you'll see a ton of resources drop down. Things like reasons to exit public schools, school options, curriculum options, facts and stats, and information on funding. But one of my favorite resources under the how-to tab is the church programs resource or church programs button. If you click on church programs, you'll learn about many different ways that your local church can facilitate education, whether through homeschooling, umbrella schools, or starting education scholarship programs. So please, if you're looking for answers, you're looking for resources, information, check out publicschoolexit.com and take some time to browse. I think you'll really appreciate the work that they've done. All right, that's all I have for you in this episode. That's the state of state schools. Take care, everybody.